Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, race fans. How the hell are you? Good to have you here with us tonight. This is Steve Billmeyer, also known as Big Sweat, one of the hosts of tonight's radio program, Racing with Big Sweat, where we talk about the local short track racing scene and try to give some drivers on the local tracks a shout out, give them a little attention for what they do, because they do a lot. With me here tonight is my co-host, the man from Long Island, Mr. Mike Perricone. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Excited about tonight. We got two guys who you could basically subtitle tonight's program The Streakers, because they're both known to have like 7 or 8 wins in a row. And I was reading up on our first guest. He does it in the Legends, and our second guest does it in the Modifieds and the Figure Eights. So they're very streaky in a good way.
Yeah, definitely so. The first guy we're going to have on tonight, Dylan Spain. If you read the show flyer, you'll see that I noted on there he's a marked man. Well, he is, and we're going to talk about it. There's a bounty on his head. We're going to talk about that some and get some history from him and find out how things are going. And the other driver we're going to talk to is Tommy Rogers Jr. He runs a modified and a figure eight car, and I've never had a chance to talk to anybody about figure eight racing, so I'm looking forward to this, going to learn something. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get this cattle drive started, and we'll bring on our first guest. Like we said, he's a legend driver from my area right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he's won some races so far this year, and they've already put a bounty on his head, so that'll tell you what kind of driver he is. Dylan Spain, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Congratulations on your season so far. Looks like it's going to be another year of taking names and kicking ass.
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good so far this year. We've been blessed to have a good, consistent car.
I noticed that it says you've won 3 straight. You're 3 for 3. Is that at one track, or is that the 2 tracks that you try to run at?
We've actually won 6 in a row right now, and that was 3 at Southern National, 2 at Wake County Speedway, and 1 at East Carolina Speedway.
Oh, man. Well, at least you're spreading it out. You're not just beating them to death on one track. That's a pretty strong record. And I believe it's Southern National Motorsports Park that has put the $100 bounty on your head, that if anybody can beat you, they pick up an extra $100. Thing I wanted to know is if they don't beat you and you win, do you get the extra $100?
It's actually 200 right now. It was 100 last week. He's adding on $100 for every race that I continue to win. But sadly, no, I don't get the extra money. But he has made it fair. I get 2 free pit passes as long as I keep on winning. So it works out in the end.
Oh, absolutely, and every little bit helps. I'm about a week behind on your racing so far, but. Don't worry, I'll catch up. You're dealing with really 3 different type of racetracks. Southern National Motorsports Park is a high bank, Bristol-like 3/8 of a mile. East Carolina is a lower banked 3/8 of a mile track. And then Wake County Speedway, where you also win, is a flat quarter-mile bull ring. Let us know, what's the secret to your success running all these different tracks and doing good at all of them?
we have a lot of laps at all the different tracks. We try to not really go anywhere blind. Whenever we go somewhere new, we try to make sure we go test there at least, you know, two or three times, that when we get there, we know pretty much where we need to be. And it helps out a lot. I mean, I work on a lot of the cars that race around this area, so I'm able to, whenever we go somewhere new, you know, if I bring a couple cars with me, I've got a couple cars to experiment on, and we can try different things. And then by the time, you know, that, you know, if we go out there for one round, we basically got three rounds because I can try three different things.
Well, that's a pretty sound strategy to have, testing. I hope some of you other people were listening to that and you find out just how important it can be to test before you go to a track blind. Dylan obviously has a plan intact for that, and it's paying off good for him. You mentioned that you work on other cars. What kind of work do you do?
I do everything, full setup. You know, I work on Will Bristol's car. He's won a lot out at Southern National in Wake County. This past year, he actually won the championship last year. So, you know, it really helps to be able to get driver feedback from other drivers on, you know, what I can do to improve, you know, my setup. So,
yeah, is yours like a freelance business or a family type operation, or do you just help these guys out in a share and share knowledge type deal?
We've really, you know, the Bristols have helped us out a lot over the past couple of years as far as really, you know, just everything, because, you know, Will was one of my first drivers that I really got a chance to, you know, trust me working on their car. So he's been a lot of help in and out of the shop as far as working on the other cars. So I'd have to say, you know, we've gotten a little bit of help from the local drivers too.
Cool deal. Well, that's working out good for you too. I hate to ask because it always makes me feel bad, but how old are you?
I'm 19.
Mm. And how old were you when you started racing?
I believe I was 7 when I first got in a go-kart, and I was 12 when I first got in a legend car.
Man. So you got 12 years of racing experience now and hadn't even hit your 20s yet, so you got a long career ahead of you. What's next on the game plan? Do you anticipate, or are you planning on moving up from Legends cars?
Well, I was very blessed with the opportunity a few years ago to race a limited late model, and we came pretty close to winning the championship out at Southern National. We missed it by a few points to Haley Moody. But,
yeah.
You know, the funding got kind of tight. We're a family operation, so I'd love to be able to get the opportunity to get back into a late model sometime.
Like everybody else, it's kind of dependent on sponsorship, huh?
Yes, sir. Sponsorship's hard to come by.
How do you approach sponsors? Are you big on using social media, or, you know, do you cold call them and just show up knocking at the door with a proposal? What works for you?
I'd like to say I'm big on social media, but to be honest with you, that's probably one of my weakest points. Is, you know, I'm not big on social media, but I try to talk to, you know, local businesses and stuff whenever I get the opportunity to meet someone that works at like an auto parts store or some kind of mechanic shop, because, you know, that's usually the first places you can get to go on board, because they kind of know how that they're most of them are involved in some kind of motorsports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely where a lot of your sponsors come from, is in the motorsports and in the automotive industries. But social media, in a way, is a good and bad thing. It's good that you can reach more people that way, get more sponsors, at least get knocking on their door, but it doesn't give the personal aspect of coming in, sitting down, and talking to them and everything. Do you have trouble with that? I don't mean this the wrong way. I mean, Are you like a shy person? Is it difficult for you to sit down and give a proposal, or are you comfortable in groups of people?
I would have to say I'm mediocre when it comes to public speaking. If I'm in a group of people that I know, and you know, I don't mind, you know, speaking what's on my mind. But when it comes to, you know, talking in front of a crowd of people, once I get to talking, I can talk for days. But it's hard for me to open up and start, you know, just saying what's on my mind.
Yeah, I understand that. What do you think, Mike?
Hey, Dylan, I have a question. Do you ever come up north and run? Because we have some guys that live on Long Island that go and run in North Carolina at times.
The farthest I've ever been with a legend car up north was we went to Shenandoah Speedway in Virginia. We're planning on traveling up to, and I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but New Waterford Speedway.
You got it.
I believe is how you pronounce it. That's where the national championship race is this year, and we want to go up there and test a few times over the summer and race there at the end of the year.
Okay. I'm interested in about the bounty situation, because a lot of guys who are marked men, for lack of a better term, like Steve wrote in the publicity, drivers don't usually say it, verbalize it. Are you feeling pressure because of that, or are they, you know, is it, you know, like you would know that they're gunning for you because of your talent, but usually it's not verbalized. Is there a problem with that, or what's the difference?
No, I've been trying to, you know, share the word. Southern National is a great track, and we started off the first race of the season with about 20 cars, and for some reason it's kind of fallen off the last couple of races, and I'd love to get it back up. So anything I can do to, you know, help support the track is, you know, I'd love to do it.
You don't reckon the car count's falling off because you're so hard to beat there, do you?
I hope not. You know, we try our best. So I really hope that's not the reason.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just to follow up on that, because I know a lot of, you know, a few drivers up here are the same way, where you know, they get off on streaks and so forth, and like they have lead a charm season, or now you're into your second season now. Last season, I know 2015 was great for you from what I read. And now, as Steve said, you started off strong. So you're in the midst of a two-year situation, hopefully, for you guys.
Yes, sir. 2015 was definitely a good comeback season for us. We, like I said, we did the late model stuff in 2014. So we weren't racing full-time, and we kind of, I hate to say it, but we kind of fell behind a little bit. And we worked real hard over the winter to get back to where we were before we started running the late models, and it really paid off. And we were able to, you know, not only win around here, but we won at Caraway and South Boston and a few other tracks.
Mm-hmm.
How many races did you win last year?
We won. To be honest with you, I'm not quite sure. We won one at Caraway, one at South Boston, three at East Carolina. Two, three, seven. We won eight at Southern National, and I believe five at Wake County, and we won a heat race at the national championship race at Anderson. So
that's 19 out of the year. That's pretty damn good. That's stronger than 10 acres of raw onions. Do you ever go up to Charlotte and run those summer and winter shootouts that they put on up there?
I did in the Bando, and I raced. I went up there one time in a Legend car when I was first getting into them, and we ran the rookie race on the Monday night. But to be completely honest,
am I still on?
Yeah, I hear you, Steve. You got me?
Yeah. You there, Dylan?
I think we lost Dylan.
No, he just fell off right then. I'm gonna let y'all know when he comes back in, though.
Well, geez, I hope he didn't get so bored with the show that he hung up. Hell, I'm having a good time. Well, while we got a minute to kill, you CJ, you get any weather today?
Dude, did I what now?
You get any kind of weather today?
It's been cold and yucky. Like, it's like I'm sitting in my room right now with a hoodie and long pants on. Like, it's rather chilly this way. but we got him back in the studio, though.
Good deal. You there with us, Dylan?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that. I believe I lost connection.
That's all right. Pay your phone bill on time next month, and that won't happen. So you were telling us about running the Legend car at Charlotte.
Yes, sir. We went up there my first year, and we won. Or we didn't win, but we raced the rookie race up there on the Monday night, and you know we honestly haven't been back there since. But we'll run at Concord, which is right outside.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I used to take my late model up there to Concord. Run on the big track. That's a fast track there, too.
Big track. I'd love to go out there and run there, but we run the little short track out back.
Yeah.
And we won two races out there in 2013, and I think we've been there twice since then. So, and I think I was running second last year, and my bumper fell off on a restart, so that kind of stunk.
Yeah, that sucks. There's a lot of publicity, though, generated by those races up there in Charlotte. Is that something that interests you, or are you more interested in running where you know you'll do good?
I would like to go up there to the shootout. It's just I can never get some funding together where I know if I have a car I can have it packed together for the next week. It's just my
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Got me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, my biggest dilemma is with going up there is just the fact that, you know, if I tear up my car, I can't afford to put it back together for the next week. So, if I could ever get some sponsors up there, I'd love to.
Well, there you go, people. If you're listening, you got some sponsorship dollars you want to spread around and help some of these local short track drivers out, this is a good man right here, Dylan Spain. He'll get you a lot of pictures taken in Victory Lane. The guy is a very well-rounded young 19-year-old, very well-spoken. He'll represent your company very well. So put that name in the back of your mind, Dylan Spain. And if you're interested or you know somebody that might be interested in sponsoring somebody, this would be a good gentleman to call. While we got a moment here, Dylan, tell everybody how they can keep up with you on social media.
I keep that pretty well up to date, more than I do my Facebook page. And my Facebook page is Dylan Spain Motorsports.
Well, that's where I go to get a lot of my information about you. And, of course, you're a member of my Facebook group, NASCAR and Other Racing, so I get posts on there, too, about what you're doing, and Congratulations. It seems like I see a post of you in Victory Lane every week. I'm really impressed with the run you've got going on now, and I can't think of a better term, your dominance of the legend cars right now. I mean, it's definitely pretty impressive. And I'm sure it would be cool for you, and you'd love to move up to a late model and run some of those races. Your time in the late model was limited, but what did you think of it? Did you like driving a bigger car like that? Did you have any problems adapting to a full-size car like that?
It was honestly weight racing. It's just
Dylan, you're breaking up pretty bad. Move to another spot in the house. See if that helps your reception any. Tell everybody about Southern National Motorsports Park to begin with and how you handle driving there on a high bank track like that. How is that in a Legends car? Hear a dog barking. Anybody else?
I'm here. You got me?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Well, I'm sure Dylan will fade back in sometime.
Right. He's having the problem tonight that we've had in the past. That's all that means.
Yeah. And that's why I generally ask people to call in on a landline phone. You don't run into this trouble that way. But anyway, I'm glad his legend car is better than his cell phone.
Definitely.
He's back in the studio.
All right, you back, Dylan?
It's been raining here pretty bad today, so the wireless signal is not the best in the world.
Well, you're out in Clayton, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're on the opposite side of the county as me. I'm up in Wake Forest, but you're right. We have had some weather today, and hell, they're talking about tomorrow, severe thunderstorms and hail and cold and everything. So welcome to North Carolina weather.
Yeah, it only rains on the weekends.
Yeah, isn't that something? It's like it's always that way. Like I was saying, tell everybody about Southern National Speedway and what it takes to be fast there.
Southern National, it seems to think it's all about strength. But the biggest thing with Southern National, things you can do there, and then you know you got to make sure that you're getting your car to rotate perfectly through the center, because it's such a momentum track. The more speed you can carry through the center of the corner to propel you down the straightaway, the faster you'll be.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. Southern National is a momentum track. And in order to be fast, you've got to be able to get in the corner fast and hard and rotate that car in the center of the corner to get yourself lined up for your exit. Back in the days when I owned the late model, I raced at Southern National when Denny Hamlin was down there winning a ton of races. And that was the big thing that made Denny so tough to beat, is his car just rotated so good in the center of the corner, it just didn't lose any time, any momentum, and he'd get lined up for a good hole shot, and off the corner he'd go, and he was gone. And he won a ton of races there because of that, and I spent a lot of time watching him as a crew chief trying to figure out what he was doing and everything. And that was pretty much what I saw. The center of the corner, his speeds were greater than anybody else. So if he was beating you, that's pretty much where he was beating on you at. But you go from the high bank oval at Southern National to the flat quarter-mile bull ring at Wake County Speedway. Describe that track and tell us what it takes to get around that track quick.
Honestly, we take pretty much the same approach at Southern National as we do to any track we go. We try to make sure that we can get as much speed going to the center of the corner as we can because, you know, if the faster you can get through the corner, you know, like at Southern National, just like anywhere else, the faster you can get, the faster you'll start off going down the straightaway. But whereas a lot of people, at least I've seen in legend cars, they try to focus on hauling the car off into the center of the corner and, you know, gaining that little bit on entry. Well, I try to focus on exit speed and drive off because that'll carry us down the entire straightaway. So instead of gaining a car length on entry, I try to drive off, gain two car lengths down the straightaway.
Yeah, that's definitely the better way to be because my philosophy always was it's not being the last off of the gas going into the corner, it's being the first on the gas coming off the corner that makes you fast. And
exactly.
you just verified what I'd always thought, you know. So that's cool. You definitely seem to have a good handle on your setup and driving style and everything. So who's your crew chief and how did you get a good working relationship with him?
It's my dad, so I guess I got a good relationship with him when I was born. But he you know, one day he came home and, you know, he asked if I wanted to go watch one of my buddies that he knew from the fire department, his son, if I wanted to go watch him race, and that's kind of how we got into racing.
Well, that seemed to have worked out pretty good for you. Is racing a family affair? Are you the only one that races, or do you have brothers and sisters that are into this too?
I had some uncles that raced back in the day, and dad's uncle, he built Southern National Speedway.
Oh, wow.
And she raced out at Johnson County Speedway. And
most of your racing we've talked about tonight has been on asphalt. Have you ever done any dirt track racing?
That was on dirt, but I've never had the opportunity to go race, like, you know, full size stock cars on dirt. I'd like to go race a couple of legend races on dirt if I ever, you know, get a free weekend where I'm not doing anything, go out there and race it like Rockfish or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I definitely like to do that. There's so much throttle control involved in racing Legends cars that would probably transfer well to dirt and help you be on dirt track racing. But the power-to-weight ratio is so great on asphalt with a Legends car that it's not a deal where you can just mat the gas coming off the corner. You've really got to learn to work the throttle to make a smooth and quick lap. Does that help your corner speed any, especially in the center, being able to use the throttle to help turn the car?
Most definitely. In a legend car, you can really feel the car roll over in the center of the corner. They are a little bit more top heavy, and, you know, where get gas, if you kind of feather the throttle for a little bit, or if you wait on the gas, you can really feel the car rotate differently. So how you kind of work the gas right there in the center of the corner affects the way it handles somehow possible.
Yeah, I'd heard that. I'd heard that. So you're looking, you like to move up into a late model. Ultimately, where would you want to end up? In Sprint Cup racing?
It's just a matter of funding.
Yeah, common theme.
Dylan.
Yes, sir.
If you broke down your victories, now I know you basically with what you've been going through the last 2 years, in a good way, you can win anywhere you race. But do you have a favorite track based on where you win? Do you feel like you win more often at one track over another?
I would say we're probably the strongest at Southern National right now, but my favorite track to race at is East Carolina Speedway because it is just so different from any other track that we race at, and I wish we could get the opportunity to race there more, but it's kind of a long haul for a lot of the legend drivers, so, you know, it's kind of, we can get decent car count out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that's a pretty neat track. It's down in Robertsonville, North Carolina, in the eastern part of North Carolina, east of Interstate 95. I've been down there a couple of times, and they put on a good show. They run quite a few different classes, and they always have a good field of cars. So, you know, it's definitely a track worth going to. And like you said, it's one of your favorites. So I know you work that into your schedule whenever you can. As far as the year-long points battles go, where do you run for points at? I believe Southern National in Wake County.
We've run there in the past for points, and, you know, we've ran all the races so far this year. I do some more traveling this year, so I don't plan on any one track in particular in their full season. It's just not really worked out in the schedule as of so far this year to really go anywhere else. I'd like to go to Dominion some this year.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to Concord some more. I think there's $1,000 to win Legends race at Carteret County in a few weeks. I'd love to race there.
Yeah, speaking of Carteret County, that's a brand new track just opened up toward the end of last year. How is it the race on? I hadn't really talked to anybody that's been there and run before. I would guess there's plenty of grip with the new asphalt, but you know, what's it like for you to run? How does it compare to some of the other tracks?
I've actually have not raced there yet. I've been there to practice one time, and by what I could tell, we were pretty on par with the pole time from the Tour Mod race that they had there, or the Coma Online Series race that they had there last year. So I feel like we'll be pretty close. But from what I could tell with practice is, you know, the track had a lot of grip for being a flat track, and it's like you said, it's probably from the new pavement and a genius throughout the entire track because.
Yeah, there's a lot of grip there now with fresh asphalt, but I got a feeling that track's going to be like Darlington. It's close enough to the coast that you get that fine beach sand that'll blow up on the track and make it abrasive just from blowing across it. And then when you get that sand on your tires and you're out there running on the track, it's going to wear that asphalt even more. So it's going to be interesting to see how that track does as the asphalt ages and how the competition adapts to it. Let's take a minute and give anybody you want to recognize a shout out, your crew, your family, sponsors, whoever.
First and foremost, I want to thank God for, you know, just keeping me safe every week. And Dad, he works two jobs, and then he comes home after that and helps me out in the shop every day. You know, my mom and my sister, they are out at the track every week for and supporting me. My papa, Johnny Keith, he's out there, you know, in the pit out every week, helping out. Plus Century, he doesn't race anything, but every week he's out there at the track helping us. He'll leave from work on Saturday and help us out. Southern, you know, the Bristols, even if they're, you know, we race with them, against them every week, I can count on them and count on me, and we work together. Everybody that helps us out, Spain Motorsports, Spain Custom Painting, All-Star Auto Mart, Bradley McCaskill with Graphics Unlimited, he helps us out with graphics, and he keeps the cars looking good every week, and just all the tracks that give us the opportunity to be able to race.
Good deal, good deal. It's always good to have family involved. That's the great thing about local short track racing, is you get a lot of families involved in it, and it's definitely a good way for your a good environment for your children to grow up in, most definitely. Always a great time talking to you, Dylan. I appreciate you coming on tonight, and congratulations again on how your season has gone this year. Hope you win many more this year, and good luck corralling a sponsor and getting some help and getting up into the late models and up farther than that. Just keep plugging at it, son. I know you'll get there.
Thank you so much.
We'll get you back on later in the season. Check in with you, see how you're doing then. So once again, thanks for coming on, Dylan. Always a pleasure talking to you, bud, and we'll be back in touch real soon.
Steve?
I'm still here.
Okay. Tommy's in listening to the show. I thought he told me he was in.
All right, well, go ahead and introduce him.
Okay. Our next guest is Tommy Rogers, who runs basically in Riverhead Weekly, but then also runs the Wayland Modified Tour in the Northeast. And Tommy, are you in?
Yes, I'm in.
There you go. How you doing, Tommy?
All right. How are you guys?
Okay. You know, we were talking about people on streaks because the prior guest also had won like seven races in a row, and you did the same thing in 2014, and then you backed that up with the championship in both divisions last year. So you're just as hot as he was.
Yeah, we were pretty busy last year, and we were able to accomplish and win a lot of races, which was pretty great for my teams.
The thing is, explain to the people, you also run for Nona, and you have your own car as well in the modifieds, correct?
Yeah, you know, back in 2010, I won my modified championship, and we decided to take my team and go run on the Whalen Modified Tour. And at that time, I was contacted by car owner Joe Ambrose to run Riverhead part-time, because he was just looking to do a part-time deal. And he was kind of getting back into racing after some time off. So I chose to do that, because it kept me in the seat when I had some time off on the Whalen Modified Tour, because we had some long breaks. And just kept me active and kept my crew active, and we can go to Riverhead, and every now and then we might try some things that, you know, we didn't get the opportunity to try on the tour. and we just continued it. I kind of left the tour in a way because of finances and time away from my family. So now I just kind of do it on a part-time deal. You know, it's a difficult thing trying to get either a ride on the tour or you know, sponsorship money to do the tour, even though I had a lot of fun with it. You know, and last year I was running the tour. We were going to try to make a full-time attempt with another car owner, Billy Darrow, and I wound up actually missing a week at Riverhead to run Waterford in a tour race. And, you know, I think just life kind of got in the way of that team, and we wound up folding that up halfway through the season, even though we were pretty competitive.
Right, right. Well, you win wherever you go. I mean, you're one of the people that can win wherever you go. I know in terms of streaks, you did. And the last time I was there full time every week was 2014. You won, like, I think it was some. I remember finding saying it was like something like seven in a row. In one stretch, you had your own car and Joe's, and it didn't matter which car you were in on a given week. You just got super hot and, you know, ran away. And then, unfortunately, I wasn't there last year, but I got feedback, and I know what you did. And, you know, you just extended that, and, it looks like, this year now going in, you're on a real hot streak, and so hopefully you can keep it up. Are you going to be doing – how much are you going to be doing the tour this year? Are you going to bring your own car to do it, or are you going to take another – you know, are you going to take the 38 again or what?
No, right now, I mean, my car is sitting in the garage. It's kind of there just in case I ever need it. I do have a lot of updates that I have to do to it to conform to the Whalen tour rules because I haven't used that car on the tour in such a long time.
Right.
But, you know, I continue to run the 38 and help Wade out a little bit. Back when I ran the tour, you know, he was a low-budget guy, you know, and he still is a low-budget guy. And I came from that. And not that I have a lot of money right now, but I know what it's like to struggle and
right.
to try to be there every week. So, you know, every now and then he doesn't have a driver to fill the seat or something like that. You know, I'll go up and I'll try to help him out. You know, unfortunately, I ran the car twice. I ran it once at Loudoun last year. We qualified pretty well for my first time ever in the car. You know, we welded the seat in when I got to the track on Friday morning, practiced the car Friday, qualified 18th, I think it was. And unfortunately, there was a rollover on the interstate, and I wound up missing the autograph session, so I had to start in the rear. Started 33rd, and I wound up climbing back up into 18th before I broke the drive shaft.
Yeah.
And then,
one of those walk track things you couldn't help, right?
Yeah,
okay,
you know,
cool.
It's just one of those things, you know. And then we went to Stafford and this year, and I qualified the car 15th. We were holding our own. We were running pretty good. I ran over a screwdriver that was laying on the track, and it wound up puncturing the right rear tire. And
we
were going down slowly, but we kept cruising along, and it's just hard, you know. He's got a built motor in there, and right now with the NASCAR spec engine, you really can't compete.
Okay, for the purposes of Steve and some other people that might not be aware, tell us a little bit about your figure eight driving.
My figure eight car was actually the whole thing, me getting involved in race cars was just kind of a fluke thing. I was racing go-karts, and I was around race car people. I was always helping race car people out. And George Brown, who was a well-known figure eight driver here.
Downtown George Brown, yep.
many championships. He had his kid running go-karts, and I started helping his kid out and working with his kid. And one night, Georgia just turned around to me and he says, "You want to drive my figure eight car?" You know, and
I was wondering about that because George did drive the 43 before you did, right? And then he moved down to Florida.
Yeah, well, this is back when he had the 41. And actually,
okay.
the 43 car I have now was the 41 back then, but it
yeah,
was brand new
yeah.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up driving the Ford Probe, which was his backup car. You know, and when he came to me, I was like, "What are you out of your mind?" You know, I didn't really want anything to do with figure eight cars back then. But I said, "You know what? I'll give it a shot." And my first race out there, I started last and wound up finishing second. And during the off season, the car owner that owned his cars wanted to sell the Probe. He was putting somebody else in George's car, and I wound up getting rid of all my go-kart stuff. So I said, "Well, you know, what choice do I have? Is either buy this figure eight car or to go back and buy go-karts again?" You know, so I wound up buying the figure eight car, and it just started from there.
Okay, let me bring my host in here.
I tell you, Tommy, figure eight racing kind of always fascinated me. I always thought that was a pretty cool show. And I heard, you know, I found out you were doing figure eight racing, so I went over to your page to check out your cars and stuff. And the figure eight cars I had seen were, you know, pretty much tanks, big cars, solid bumper bars all around and everything. And unless I read it wrong, your figure eight car is a classic coupe modified. I was just stunned to even see that. Is that what you run in figure eight?
Yeah, I run a 1941 Ford, 1941 Plymouth coupe. And the car owner actually is the one that wants that body. And it draws a lot of fans to us, and it's very unique. You know, I like that stuff. You know, even in the modified division, I like different body styles. I wish they would let us run the Vegas and stuff like that, and the Pintos again.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, unfortunately, now we have body templates and everything else that we have to conform to. So NASCAR really doesn't allow us to do that. You know, but I think that would be more of a crowd drawer and sponsor drawer, you know, as well.
Yeah, definitely so, because there's more brand identity. You can look and tell the difference between a Vega modified and a Pinto modified body, where nowadays, you know, there's just really no brand identity. There's no difference in the bodies or anything, so I agree with you. I think it would definitely be a fan draw. Running a figure eight race, how do you approach that cross in the middle? Is that just kind of stand on the gas and close your eyes to get through it, or are you riding the brake, anticipating trouble? What does it take to get through that area of the track and to make you fast all the way around the track?
Usually the ones that stand on the gas and close their eyes are the ones that get involved in a wreck in the X, you know. it's definitely strategy. You know, while we're in the middle of one and two, we're looking across at three and four, and we're trying to time it. You know, you don't want to lift when you're heavy on the gas. You want to lift while you're in the corner and time the X. And, you know, hopefully if you're out front, you know, the back markers might give you some leeway, you know, which usually they do, but there's cases where they don't, you know, but fortunately enough, I've never really hit at the X. I did have one guy stop at the X, I think 2 years ago, and we came off the corner. I was following another car. He darted to avoid the car at the last minute, and I ran, you know, kind of broadside into him, but, you know, never really hit T-boned at the X. which is a good thing because I don't want to see that for anybody.
Yeah, definitely so.
Well, the trick is when you're out front, Tommy, you stay there.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a lot easier when you're out front to control the pace of the race. You know, whether it be the modified or the figure eight, you know, controlling your race pace is definitely key, you know, and it's more key in the figure eight division than it probably is in the modified. Mentally, there's a lot more going on in the figure eight car than there is in the modified.
Yeah.
I really
because
kind
of
enjoy
the traffic situation.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy it. And, you know, like your previous guest was talking about as far as throttle control, you know, we run the figure eight course almost like you're on dirt. You know, we kind of tail slot it a little bit. You're really working the throttle. You got to use the gas pedal in order to turn the cars. And you just got to be really smooth and really manage your tires at the same time. And it's a tough game to play.
I know, basically, with the figure eights, what I see is the trick is not to get, if you're leading, you could end up being, you know, leading but in almost behind a bunch of cars when you come up on them. And that's, the slower traffic is what gets you in the figure eights.
Yeah, well, when you're leading, you don't want a 5-6 car length lead. You want to have second place on your bumper. You want to know where he is at all times. If you got to hit the brake, you want him to run into the back of you. And that's pretty much why we have all these, you know, big bumpers on our cars is basically if we got to stop, sometimes we got to stop the car that's behind us as well. You know, if lap traffic doesn't, you know, yield to us, otherwise, you get a big lead, you know, and you have to stop because then the opportunity will blow right by you, you know, and it's definitely a chess match.
Everything. Tell Steve and the fans, the thing that got me about the figure eight car is the hauler you have is a converted school bus, an actual school bus.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely old school all the way around. You know, we run a coupe body. We've got an old school bus converted into a car carrier, which serves dual purpose. My crew chief on that car had gone through some medical issues and some radiation treatment, so he has to be in the shade. So, basically, the school bus provides him the shade.
There you go. I never knew that story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cheaper way for them to get the car to the track instead of buying a truck and an enclosed trailer. And
right.
You know, generally during the day we have canopies out and stuff for him so that the sun don't hit him because you know it'll burn his skin really bad. But I think it's more amazing that somebody that has gone through so much still finds a way to enjoy what he loves doing. And, you know, it's kind of tough because a lot of people don't know how to take him. You know, he is dressed up, you know, in a sweatshirt when it's 90 degrees out. But, you know, so it's pretty unique, you know, the whole race team, the hauler, the car, and, you know, just trying to build it up and get some sponsors and things of that nature. They've struggled with trying to get sponsors because they didn't compete full-time, really, until I started driving.
Until you started driving, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, obviously, George Brown drove, ironically, for him before I did. But he was from Florida, and, you know, he had a lot of work and stuff like that. So they weren't able to run every show.
Well, I think the interesting thing is, too, George used to commute from Florida even after he moved down, right? So he was coming up like every weekend to run the car and then go back home, and that was interesting that year. I remember the year he did that.
It's tough. At the time he lived in Florida, but he worked in Staten Island and he raced out here on Riverhead. So he definitely had some frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, definitely. Steve, you got any questions for Tommy?
I really enjoyed hearing about the figure eight. Learned something there. Always great to learn that. In your modified racing, I heard it mentioned earlier that you were doing tour races too. How far does that mean you have to travel? How much traveling do you do?
We do a lot of traveling. And living on Long Island, it's either we're taking the ferry over to Connecticut or taking a bridge over to Connecticut, which, is very costly. We usually travel 2, 3, 4 hours away. I used to run an SK modified. We went down to Concord and won down there. We won the North-South shootout portion of the of 2006 in the SK division. And then I went down to South Boston in the tour mob, went down there, and we were real fast. And wound up having a steering wheel rip off and hit the fence and stuff. But I do a lot of traveling. It's been hard, that was before my third child. And, now with my added third child, it's just a lot of time away from my family and a lot of commitment.
Wait a minute. You said the steering wheel ripped off.
Boston.
You mean like what happened to Junior this past weekend, or Jimmy Johnson at Phoenix? You had that trouble too?
Not quite. Very similar, but not quite. What I wound up happening was my steering coupler stayed on the steering shaft, but the three bolts on the wheel ripped right out of the hub. And it was a brand new hub that we had put on because we were switching over to the SFI stuff at that time. And the inserts on it just ripped right out of it.
All of a sudden, hearing about all these steering wheels coming off, it got me wearing my tinfoil hat and looking for black helicopters. Well, it sure sounds like a conspiracy to me.
I'm always checking the steering wheel. I'm always pulling on it. I pull on it probably 4 or 5 times before I even go out on the racetrack. And then under yellow, I'm always pulling on it. I'm very, very conscious about that. And my throttle linkage is, two of the main things that I focus on that I don't allow anybody on my crew to touch except for maybe my brother-in-law that has been racing with me since the get-go and knows how I like it and what I expect. Otherwise, nobody touches it. I've always said to my crew, I said, listen, if my throttle sticks, it's my fault, not yours. And I don't want anybody to have that weight on their shoulders.
Well, that's a good way to be. I've had drivers like that it was pretty much an unwritten rule. If it was in the interior of the car or the throttle linkage, you didn't mess with it. The driver handled that, and that's the way a lot of them wanted it. You ever consider coming down to North Carolina and running modifieds at Bowman Gray Stadium? Do you know about Bowman Gray?
Actually, one of my race cars wound up at Bowman Gray Stadium, and I've talked to a few people about going down there. For a long time I was talking to I can't even think of his name right now. I forgot Frank Fleming about running one of those backup cars down there. Frank parked next to me down at one of the North South shootouts, and I remember him from when I was a kid, you know, and he was racing, and we just got into talking, and we kind of hit it off, and then back in 2006, if I remember, I think he blew a tire and backed the car in the fence and wound up hurting his back really bad. And they came over to me asking me if I wanted to drive the car. And I said, sure, you know, I'll drive the car. And I went over there, and we found out that the rear clip was all bent, and some axle tubes were bent and stuff like that. So they said, you know what, we're just going to load it up. I said, hey, you're better off, you know. And away we went. But for the next, I don't know, 2 years, me and Frank were in a lot of contact back and forth. He wanted to fly me down there one time to run his car, and I just had too much going on at that time between I had a business going and three kids, and it was just a lot, and at the time I turned it down.
Tommy, you probably know Bobby Pearsall went down there and was running Bowman Gray as an owner. You know, I know he went down there and is living down there now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's somebody that actually raced with my father, and I know a lot of people and a lot of contacts through my father and my grandfather and stuff, and it's really helped me get to where I'm at, I guess, because...
Well, I was telling Steve when we were preparing for the show, too, when you first started, I think you were in street stocks, too, right?
No, my father ran street stocks back in...
Oh, that was your dad, okay.
Yeah, back in 84. There's a big confusion on that because when my father raced, my grandfather raced. So my grandfather was Tom Rogers
Senior. Okay, all right, that's what it was. That's what it was, okay.
Yeah, what happened
on
was...
That one.
My grandfather was Tom Rogers Sr. My dad,
right.
They called Junior.
That's running ice slip. That's right. Okay, that's that. I go back to 70. I go back to 76 in ice slip. That's where I got that from.
Yeah,
okay.
That's when my dad started racing.
That was your dad. Okay.
But now they call my father is actually Senior, and I'm actually Junior. So now, you know, when my father ran the modified against me, he was Senior and I was Junior. So, you know, it was kind of really, everybody was confused.
Yeah.
Where,
well, I was.
You know, yeah, well, normally you would think I was a third, but I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Tommy, while we got a minute, give a shout out to anybody you want to recognize, sponsors, your crew, your shop dog, anybody.
You know, first off, I really got to thank the people that have gotten me here. And one of the guys that has gotten me here that is no longer with me is John Wellman and Big Brothers Big Sisters that we raced for. Without him, I don't think I would have been to the level that I'm at. And aside from him, you know, my brother-in-law, Michael, who was a partner in the race car with me, also my crew chief. I got Helmet, George, Sean, all these guys that work on my car, my entire crew. Without them, I couldn't be here right now, you know. And then, of course, my sponsors. Now I got Stakey's Pumpkin Farm, who's been with us for several years. I got Royal Fence, Jessup Landscaping. All those sponsors have been with me for several years, and we just added CAC Industries out of New York City, who's come on board in a big way. And we just added this year SGS Stoneworks, who as well has come on in a big way. And you know, hopefully we can continue our success and keep moving forward, you know, maybe do a little bit of tour racing. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Mm. take another minute while we're on the subject and let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Well, I turned down my website, but basically social media. I'm not a Facebook fan. I'm not on Facebook, but I'm sure you could follow it on RiverheadRaceway.com, LongIslandJam.com, and you can keep up on the racing and the activities. You know, we got dual ownership here at Riverhead Raceway, which I think is definitely going to turn the place around and make it a better atmosphere for the fans and for the families. And hopefully we can continue racing for a long time to come here.
Yeah, I had heard a lot of positives about the new ownership at Riverhead. And one thing I've noticed about that track, they do a lot to keep the fans and especially the young fans involved and interested in what's going on. So that definitely, to me, seems like a family-oriented racetrack. And if you're up in that area, listeners, go check it out, Riverhead Raceway. They put on a good show from what I've heard, and it's well worth the trip.
We start this week, you know, and we got 7 divisions running this week. And Ed and Connie Partridge, the new owners, have really made huge improvements to the facility. And it's pretty amazing what they've done. I would recommend everybody come out and visit it and give it a shot.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of some of the buildings that they've refurbished and built new buildings and stuff. So they've put a lot of time and money and effort into fixing the track up more than it was. So I agree with you definitely, people. If you get a chance to go out there, go check it out. And you know, with 7 divisions running, that it's not going to be any long, drawn-out races. So it'll keep your children interested, too. So check them out. It's well worth a shot. And, Tommy, I do appreciate you coming on tonight. I'm glad I got to meet you and glad I got to talk with you some. Do me a favor, join my Facebook group, NASCAR and Other Racing, so I can keep up, you know, with what you're doing and everything. I definitely want to follow you through the figure eight races. I'm just, like I said, I've never been to one, but they're very interesting to me. So now I know somebody that does it. I can keep up with you and see how it's going and maybe even ask you questions sometime. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'll have my girlfriend sign on there.
There you go. Yeah, keep us informed.
I'll post some videos from Pete too, Tommy. Peter Milano, the pit stop pit bull. And I'll put them on the page also.
Yeah, my brother Jeffrey's working with him now too. They're making some really good videos of the place.
Well, good luck to you this weekend at Riverhead, and good luck to you for the whole 2016 season. And let us know how you're doing. Keep us informed, and we'll try to get you back on later on in the year and see how you're doing then.
Absolutely. You know, and I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tommy.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
You too. All right, people. 2 very interesting drivers we've had on tonight, 2 guys that excel in different classes of racing. A lot of interesting comments there. Like you said, I picked up a couple things I didn't know about figure eight racing, so it's always a plus for me. Mike, let everybody know what you got going on and how they can follow you on social media.
Okay, well, starting this week, because it's opening night, I will be posting a blog. I don't know. I'll talk to Steve. I don't know if he wants it on his page or wherever he wants it. He can have it. And I'll post a blog, and I also do a column called Riverhead Raceway Hot Laps. And I'm on, as always, I'm on Steve's page, and I'm on my own page. And I'm on Twitter as Stats108. And that's about it. Twitter, Facebook, your page, Steve, and my own personal page, and the blog and the column. That's about it. Four or five things plus the radio show, which I'm extremely pleased with. So that's where you hear me.
I heard that. Yeah, sounds like things are going to be picking up for you now with Riverhead opening and everything.
All right. Yep.
Mr. CJ Sports, I know you've got stuff going on. Tell everybody what's going on in your life right now.
Well, nights on the 110 Nation sports show, we got Zach Thomas and Chad Finley joining us, both drivers. Looking forward to having them on the show. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, the 110NationSports.com. Also, check out our blog site, I'm sorry, 110NationSports.com. And also check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports.
Good deal. Always a pleasure to be here working with you, bud. As for myself, if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, and who doesn't? on Facebook, I'm at Big Sweat. They call me the NASCAR Heartbreaker and Home Wrecker. And there's a reason for that. And, no, that's on Twitter. I'm sorry. See, I'm a social media idiot. On Facebook, pretty much every day I'm on my group page, NASCAR and Other Racing. If you're looking for a good racing group to join that doesn't do a lot of driver bashing or member bashing or profanity or all that kind of stuff, come join us. We don't do that. All we do is mainly intelligent and informative racing discussions about all types of racing. We run group race threads where group members get together on one thread and talk about the race and everything, and we do that for every televised race. We do it for the NASCAR races. We do it for ARCA, NHRA, Formula One, IndyCar. If they're racing and it's on television, we're talking about it. So come join the group, NASCAR and Other Racing. You can catch me here every Thursday night doing Racing with Big Sweat, talking about the local short track scene. And on Monday nights, I do Rubbing is Racing with Mr. CJ Sports and myself, and we talk about what's happened the previous weekend in NASCAR racing. So I'm talking about a lot of racing, so you know, I know you want to hear me, so tune in one of those. And if not, if your hearing aid's not working or something like that, I write a blog, too. Comes out on Tuesdays called NASCAR Shit, Racing with Big Sweat. And that's more of an unadulterated version of what I saw happen the previous weekend in NASCAR racing. I try not to hold any punches there. So check that out. And that's pretty much it for me as far as social media goes, and that's about all I can handle. If you see me on an internet porno site, just kind of disregard that, but check me out on the racing sites. I'll let you know what's happening there. All right, guys, let's get out of here and call it a night. Don't have anybody confirmed for next week, though, but keep an eye on the NASCAR and Other Racing page. We'll have something printed there as soon as something comes up. Thanks again, Mike Perricone and Mr. CJ Sports, for being here with me tonight. Appreciate y'all being on, and thank you for everybody listening. Glad you tuned in. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk at you next week. See ya.
Take care, people.